Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Abi, before we pray, I'm just going to read the word that we're going to talk about. It's very timely. God is in this place. When I received this word, I was like doubting even when I was stepping in the church. I was like, God, is this really your word for the day? But yeah, clearly it is. Clearly it is. Because the word for the day is Psalms 46. And I'm going to read it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdom totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought the desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today. Lord, surely you're in this place. We thank you for what you're doing. Even to what Diana was sharing, Lord, thank you for the Lord of hosts is with us. Thank you for the God of angel armies are with us in this place. We thank you, Lord, that as we look into your word, Lord, we're going to have a change of mind, Lord God, and how we view you, Lord God, how we view. Because, Lord, it's all about you. It's never about us, Lord God. So help us change the way we see and understand things, Lord God. Open our hearts. And Lord, may you speak through me, Lord God. It is your word. Lord, it's your word. Holy Spirit, intervene. And we just give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on. Amen. Thank you. Hidden. Whew. Wow, what a morning. And I'm sorry I maybe take more time as well in this. But yeah. So I'm standing between you and family lunch. Every time I share the word, I'm always, for some reason, I'm standing between you and family lunch. So probably the third time you're going to hate me by now. But yeah, today, it's interesting. When I received this verse, it was a sleepless night for me. As you know, I have a newborn. And we were awake until like 4 a.m. in the morning. And I was catching up with Pastor Dave. And I was like, Lord, I don't know why I'm awake, but I also don't know what to share next week. And he gave me this verse, and then I read it, and then I fell asleep. Wow. Wow. And the next morning, I was like, oh, Lord, what am I going to share? And then, oh, I gave you, I was like, oh, okay. But then when I look at it, I was like, this is very straightforward. I don't understand. So today we're going to do a bit of a Bible study, if that's okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's, I would say, a psalm that we know a lot. Like, we know that God is our refuge. God is our strength. Yeah, wow. We know the words, be still and know I am God. But God led me into a journey this week to understand what it is. Because at first, when I was praying what the title of this message is God a refuge? But then, as I journeyed through the week, he changed the title to God, my fortress, our fortress. There's a big difference between the two. So I think for us to understand this, when the psalmist, And the thing this with this is we don't know. It's just one of sons of Korah. When he wrote this, it seems that he's in trouble because it's very relatable. That's why we love this verse. When, if you look at it, have you ever felt helpless and troubled when everything seems to be falling apart? That happened to me because I prayed a dangerous prayer when I received this word. Lord, help me understand this verse, this chapter. So that happened. Like things happened. Things fell apart. and disappointment came. And I found myself, hey God, I need you as my refuge. And I know it's not just me because for some of you, you may have faced the same. Maybe it can be a diagnosis. Maybe it's a financial thing that you receive. Maybe it's an uncertainty in the future. Maybe you had a relationship that broke apart. And felt helpless. You feel desperate. So that's what led to this word. And we're going to journey through this because this is why it's important to understand that God is my refuge. Because that's the first verse in it. Verse 1. God is my refuge. But before I go to that, God revealed to me something with this verse. Because if you look at it, it's a song. It's like a song, a psalm. There's this word that you will see, Selah. Selah, right? And oftentimes we just pass through it. But it's actually very important. Because it's a pause. It's asking the psalmist, asking the readers, hey, reflect on that. Wow. Reflect on that. Pause, reflect on that. Wow. And then there's a second part of the psalm, the refrain, the chorus. You see it repeating over and over again because it's showing emphasis. Yeah, so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to divide this verse into four. The Selahs and the refrain. So we can understand what the psalmist is really teaching us. Because that's what I encountered this week. Like journeyed with this week. So I'm going to start with the first one. Verses 1 to 3. The very popular verse. God is a refuge and strength. And refuge can mean differently for all of us. For me, I live in the Philippines, and one of the things that I encountered is flooding. I remember when things were like really flooding. It's like Noah's, the time of Noah in there, like Jane's house, like first floor. It's really deep. So refuge for us means you need to go to safety. You need to go to safety. But for some people, it can be you're being chased by someone, or there's no peace at home. Sometimes home is not a refuge. So it's very different to all of us. When we talk about refuge, it's all different. Some will look at it in a physical calamity. Some even at home. Some in a country, right? So it's very interesting when we look at the word refuge. But the Bible dictionary, it's saying the word actually is called masse. It means shelter from danger. Wow. And finally enough, Pastor Son shared that this morning. I went when Psalms 34, like when David was being chased, he went to the cave. That became his refuge. And whenever I think of refuge, one of the things that I remember is the Panic Room movie. Have you seen that? I'm old. I'm a bit old. So Jodie Foster. I love that movie. Yeah, I was probably a teenager, and I really panicked. That panic. I was scared. I was like, "Mom, we need to have a panic room in our home." But she's really good. She's a good actor. But the point is, that panic room was her refuge when there was an intruder at home trying to harm her. She went there and hide there and tried to survive on her own. So refuge may mean it's a protection from external threats. But if you look at it, we are on a state of weakness. And that's what I've been through this week, and that's what I realized. Like, whenever we look at God, God, you are my refuge, we're finding ourselves in the state of weakness. when things are not going well, when things are not turning out the way we thought it's going to be, when we're becoming desperate. And that's good, because that's what God is. He is refuge. He said, in the word, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened, for my burden is light." So, and my yoke is easy and burden is light. Because that's who our God is. He is our refuge. We can come to Him when we are weak. And to further understand that, actually in Joshua 20, there's something called the city of refuge in the Bible, in the Old Testament. So this is actually for the Levites because they have no territory. But its purpose is, if you are accused of a manslaughter, accused, you can stay there so you can survive, so that the avenger will not harm you. So this person, it's really a place where you're desperate. You have nowhere to go. You can go there, in a refuge. So if you look at the psalmist now saying that God is my refuge, he's coming from that point of view that when you have nowhere to go, God, you are my refuge. And the second part, it's actually, there's an end in that. You are my refuge and strength. So the psalmist didn't just say that God is my refuge. He said that He's also our strength. That changes things. Because I mentioned earlier that refuge, you find yourself in a place of weakness. But how come the psalmist is saying that He's also our strength? That seems to be an opposite of what refuge means. Because the psalmist is teaching something. It's actually, this is what I realized, that this verse is a process for us. That we first go to God as a refuge. And then we understand Him, that He is our strength. Because it's not our strength. We are weak. We are so weak that we come to God. And then, "God, You are my strength." It's an understanding that He is a strength, that the definition of refuge becomes stronghold. Because if you look at that verse, refuge and strength, actually in the Hebrew word, it actually also means stronghold. It's not now a panic room. It's very different. A panic room now became a stronghold. And it takes time to realize this, because stronghold is a place fortified to withstand against attack. But then there's a third part of this. He's also ever-present help in times of trouble. Right. I think Kili's not here, but yeah, normally when you call 000, right? They're ever-present. That's what you will think of. Someone will come and help you, or a police or something. So God is always ready, always available. Therefore, if we suggest, once we make Him our refuge and strength, we should not fear, because we can call on Him. He's always there. He's always available. There's no condition. We can run to Him when we are weak, when we are finding our place in weakness and desperation. And that's what the first part is. Because being a refuge is not static. He's an ever-present, an active God in it, who is ready to help and protect us from harm. The thing is, we need to understand that He is a refuge. Like those designed in Joshua 20, where they need to run first, run to the refuge, because we need to acknowledge, "God, You are my refuge and my ever-present help." And then that's where we go to the second part. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms stutter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. You know, it's beautiful, because once we make God our refuge, the second part, the psalmist is saying, that he's also a river where he made the streams make glad. We can find joy in his presence. And I don't know about you, but it's another contradicting thing, right? You are in a place of weakness. Imagine yourself, like, I love watching things like Lord of the Rings and Westeros and all the... So I won't mention names because I'm not promoting those. But it gives you an idea what like castles looks like, how you run into it and be safe whenever you're there. And imagine if you're taking refuge. You run, in David, it was a cave. But imagine if you view a refuge differently. It's not just a cave, but you run into a kingdom, right? It's like a city. But here, God is saying that he doesn't just protect us or guard us, but he makes us glad. He satisfies us. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That's amazing. That's very different to what a refuge is. Now we're changing the way we see things from a refuge perspective, because we just don't run to God, because in him we find our strength. He is our ever-present help, and now he satisfies us. That's why it's very important to see it that way, that the psalmist is asking us to view it in a different perspective, not just as a refuge. He's now moving us. Hey, hold on. It doesn't just make, it's not just your refuge. It's also your joy. For in him there is fullness of joy. And in Psalm 16:11, it says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, our pleasures forevermore. God is inviting us to delight in him.
Yeah, it's great.
I think the biggest problem with being refuge, what do you call someone who called to a refuge? A refugee. Yeah. We get stuck on the refugee mindset.
Wow.
Cool. We go to God, we sat there. God, yeah, I'm weak, God, I'm weak. I'm here, yes, I need help. But we get stuck in that.
Yeah, wow.
That we forgot that, hey, he is our strength, that he is my ever-present help, that we can delight in him.
Yeah. Wow.
That's why the psalmist now is saying that, hey, hold on, you can delight in God. And then in verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. God's presence is in our midst. As we make him our refuge, he's in our midst, and we shall not be moved. Even if the nations rage or the kingdoms utter, he utters his voice, the earth melts. His presence in our midst protects us from internal threats. If refuge protects us from external. Him being his presence in our midst protects us from our internal trends, the mind, because there's something that needs to shift. I don't know about you. One thing that I enjoy being a father is spending time with my daughter. And I'm not saying that I'm her favorite, but maybe I am. But whenever I arrive, not this girl probably, but whenever I show my face, she just smile and relax. And that's what the psalmist is teaching us. That, hey, hold on. When you will not be moved. Because his presence is in our midst. And it takes us an appreciation, an opening of mind, a change of thought to see that God is in our very midst. Yes, he is our refuge, but we don't stay weak and crying. And yes, it's okay because his burden is light. But then he's also inviting us to delight in him.
Yeah. Come on.
To enjoy his presence. and to have faith in Him, to have confidence in Him, because we shall not be moved, because His presence is in their midst. And there's this actually portion here that God will help her when the morning dawns. So when you go to a refuge, you're asking for help, right? So now we're in the refuge, we're delighting in Him. But here, psalmist is saying that God will help her when the morning dawns. It's not about our timing. It's never about our timing. God just invites us to make Him our refuge and strength, His very present help. We are asked to delight in Him. And we will not be moved. And we let the timing, we leave the timing to Him. And there's this story in the Bible, which you know, with Moses, when they were crossing the Red Sea. So in Exodus 14:27, when the chariots, the Egyptian chariots, were almost there, it says here, so Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. Interestingly, He only returned the sea when the morning appeared, not when it was nighttime when they were being chased. Because it's all about God timing. All Moses did was to raise his hand, stretch his hand over. That's what God is asking us to do. As we enjoy in His presence, as we delight in Him, as we acknowledge His presence, that He is in our midst, we are just there to raise our hands, stretch our hands. Lord, it's Your timing. Yes, I am weak, but You are my strength. You are my help. In You, I will find joy. And I leave the timing to You. Because you don't go to a refuge, hey, I need help by tomorrow, 3 p.m. You don't do that. They're going to kick you out. Believe me, you go to Australia embassy and you do that. You're going to be kicked out. Imagine you go to my country's embassy. No, I'm just kidding. But they will. You cannot even enter. But yeah, that's why it is. It's all about God's timing.
That's right.
Which leads me to the next part. Verse 8 to 10. Come behold the works of the Lord. How He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Three things that the psalmist is asking us to do. To behold, to be still, and to know. So to behold is to be at awe in what God is, who God is to worship Him. Because now that you gave the timing to Him, you enjoy His presence, you delight in Him, you start to worship Him. Start to worship God. And that's what being still looks like. Because, interestingly, the word be still, we have different perception. Some is like, we think of it like a still mind, don't move. Jesus said this very word, be still. To what? To the storm. It was a rebuke. It was not be still. It's like be still. It's a rebuke. Because he's asking a change of attitude.
Yeah, wow.
A change of how the storm was coming. So the same thing here. It's a rebuke to us that, hey, be still. You're not a refugee anymore. Why are you putting things in your head? Be still. That's a big, big difference. It's a rebuke. It's us to be changed. But it doesn't mean to be lazy, but to put our trust in God.
Right.
Because being, doing nothing is different. But to be still, as we put our trust, it's where we worship Him. It's where we honor Him. We look to Him. Being still is looking to Him. You know when you have your parents say, hey, be still. I'm going to do this. Do we just do nothing? No, we watch. We watch our parents do it and be amazed, like, wow. That's what being still looks like. We don't do things on our own effort. We make it. We're not our own savior, by the way. Because you ask help. You went to the refuge in the first place. We are not to solve our problems and troubles on our own strength or wisdom. We are not to be self-reliant, but God-reliant.
Yeah, come on.
We need to refocus our mind from the circumstances to God Himself. So that's what being still looks like. It's refocusing. It's a shift from anxious thoughts to the thoughts about God. This is why stillness is never silence. Or when I say silence, like still mind. Like that. It's dangerous. Anxiety can come in when you do it like that. Being still is worshiping Him. Like, God, you got this. I'm confident because you got this. That's where we worship. That's where we get our confidence and faith. So from weakness, we seek refuge to enjoy time in His presence, which leads us to intimacy with Him. And we look at the King and we worship. And as we worship Him, our mindset shifts. Our mindset shifts, starts to shift. That, hey, hold on, I'm not a refugee anymore. I am becoming a citizen of this kingdom.
Brilliant.
I'm becoming a citizen of this. I'm not just a guest anymore. I'm not just someone who's here temporarily. I am looking at the King. And hey, this King is amazing. This God is amazing. He can do anything. And that's what happens when you worship Him. Our identity starts to change. There's a shift. Our mindset changes. We're not refugees. We're not victim mindset anymore. We're removing that mindset. We're starting to see the kingdom mindset. That, hey, there's a King in this place. There's a King in this place. A mighty King.
Right.
And lastly, verse 7 and 11. The most important part. The choruses, the refrain, right? And it repeats twice in this verse because the psalmist is putting emphasis on this. It's asking us, hey, remember this, remember this. And it says here, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And earlier, Diana shared the vision. That's why I was like, crying. I was like, okay, God, clearly, this is what, that's what the Lord of hosts look like. There's a God of angels armies around us. And there's a story in the Bible in 2 Kings 15, verse 17, with Elisha. So when the Syrians were encamping against him to attack him, because they know that they're winning because of Elisha. So they encamp around him, and his servant was afraid because he saw this great army outside their house, not even a kingdom, right? It's just a house. Imagine that. People like chariots and armies outside encamping. So we see in verse 15, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And as I invite the band to come up, an opening of eyes was needed for the servant to see that the Lord of hosts was more than the chariots, the armies around them. And this is what led Paul to say in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? And Paul was giving this statement like, hey, God is for me. And God even gave his only son for us, to die for us. So if God is for us, then who can be against us? Come on. And Paul understood this. Paul understood what the Lord of hosts is with us means. But then the last part, God of Jacob is my fortress. Now, Psalmist started with a refuge analogy. We go to him as a refuge. But now he's saying that God is my fortress. And he put it in the chorus. Repeated it twice. Because he's putting emphasis on that. That the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of angel armies. And that God is my fortress. And a fortress here, it's called Misgob. It's a high, safe place. David actually lived in a fortress. So in 1 Chronicles 11:6-9, David lived in a fortress. Therefore, they called it the city of David, the Zion. And he built the city all around from Milo and up to the circuit. And Joab restored the remainder of the city. And David became greater and greater, and the Yahweh of hosts was with him. You know, when the psalmist was writing this, it was probably the time of Solomon or after. So he saw what the city of David looks like. So when we talk about the fortress, it's actually in a high place, a top security. It's in a mountain. The Zion, the city of David, it's in a mountain. And for you to be able to penetrate that, you need to go through this other cities for you to enter that fortress. It is the most secured place. That's why when the psalmist says, describe God as my fortress. I love how he started, that God is my refuge, because it means that God is approachable. It's not intimidating. But we need to understand through worship, through changing of our minds, that we are not just in a refuge. When we made God our refuge, we're not just in a refuge. We're not just refugees. We are living in a fortress. And a fortress is impenetrable. And you know what? There's also the Lord of hosts with us. It's not just a fortress. There's a big army around, a God of angel armies. So we are not running to a weak place. We're coming from weakness, but we're not running to a weak country or weak fortress, but it's a mighty fortress. Actually, this psalm was made a song by Martin Luther during the Reformation, and he entitled it "The Mighty Fortress Is Our God," because he saw, he understood that, hey, what the psalmist is talking about, that God is my mighty fortress. It's not just any fortress. And this is why David in Psalms 18 was able to say this. I love you, Lord. Oh, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. And I am saved from my enemies. Wow. David was able to realize that God is not just his refuge. Yes, he started with that. Those were his psalms. God, you are my refuge. When he was hiding. But when he wrote this, when he was spared from Saul, because he understood that, hey, hold on. God, you're not just my refuge, but you're my fortress and my deliverer. And that's why even this morning, when we were worshiping, I got this word. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10. But it said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now it makes sense why Paul says it that way. Because it's never about our strength. We just need to run to Him in our weakness. Make Him our refuge. But we don't get stuck there. Don't get stuck as a refugee, a victim mindset. But we need to have a sonship, a daughter mindset. Because we are residing in a mighty fortress where we can delight in Him, where there is joy when He is in our midst. And where there is a Lord of hosts that is there to protect us. A refuge is a view coming from weakness, in need, in desperation. But to tell God that you are my fortress is a view from within. It's a view residing in there. For you to be able to say that, "I am now residing in the fortress," like David in that psalm. That's his view. "I am dwelling in that fortress," because it's a victorious mindset. Not a defeat mindset, but a victorious mindset. Being in God and making Him as our fortress means God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for You are a mighty fortress. Thank You for You are a refuge. We can come to You in our weakness. But Lord, thank You for You invite us in a process, oh God, to delight in You, to know You, to experience joy, to worship You. And Lord, thank You for we don't want to get stuck in that mindset, because Lord, You are also our fortress. Lord, we thank You for You. We are coming from a place of victory. Lord, help us see clearly. Help us see clearly in every situation we are in. Lord, for those negative news, sorry God, that we receive, for those hopeless situations, Lord, we run to You. We run to You. Yes, Lord. Lord, we acknowledge that we cannot do things on our own. But just like what the psalmist was saying, Lord, when the morning dawns, God will help us. So Lord, in Your timing, we just want to dwell in You, in Your presence, in worship in You, so we can see clearly that You are our fortress, a mighty fortress, that the Lord of hosts is with us, that the God of angel armies is with us. So today, help us in our situation.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.